Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Ruggiero, here on the Tour Coach podcast. Big few weeks coming up. I'm going to be headed this week to Live event in Spain, in Andalusia, Spain. Looking forward to that. And then up to the Open Championship in Scotland. And as we've been doing all through the summer, spring and summer, leading up to and through each major, we're running a contest here on the Tour Coach, as well as on our Dew Sweeper TV, on our YouTube page, with the Pro Work episodes that are out. We're going to give away a set of Srixon irons. We're going to draw the Monday after the British Open, the Open Championship for everybody. We're going to give away a set of Srixon irons to one lucky winner. We're going to give away a Wingman Mini from Bushnell. And we're going to give away a little Dew Sweeper Vineyard Vines prize pack. All you have to do to register for this drawing is go to Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. That's Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube, where you can watch some of our podcasts in video and some live action. But on any of those, all you got to do is like, subscribe, and comment on any video, hashtag ProWork, hashtag Dew Sweeper TV, or hashtag Tour Coach. So make sure you check us out on Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. Great contest going on through the Open Championship. And we've got so much good stuff going on here on the podcast. And with all the content we're coming out, if you're listening, you probably know these are the people and the stories and the folks that I work with, meet with, run across, teach in my daily, day-to-day travels, from whether it's in Mobile at my studio to down at Old Palm in Palm Beach Gardens, or maybe even hanging out at Joey D's gym a little with Colby Touye and Aaron McConley, or up at Bluebell in Philly, or a Live event or a Tour event, or wherever it is we may travel teaching the game of golf. We're going to be bringing it to you here on the Tour Coach. It's insight designed to help you teach, grow, and play the game better. Hopefully you'll enjoy this. And once again, before I get out of here and let you listen to one of our discussions, none of this would be possible without my boy Mitch McConnell, McConnell Automotive, Buick GMC, Bushnell Golf, Srixon Cleveland Golf, and of course the folks back home, Stokely's Midtown Garden Center. You can't forget Blaine or Taylor Martino and Rowan, our boy Ed Rowan. But thanks for all the support through all the years. Keep listening here to the Tour Coach. Go to Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. I think you're going to like what you see, and a good chance to win some irons and some other cool gifts from Bushnell and Vineyard Vines through the end of the Open.
All right, so joining us here on a Tour Coach, we've been doing these live lately. I don't know why, but we got some microphones here, too, to go around. Kind of hold these for the live version. It's at a retreat down here at Old Palm. Will McFadden, you've had more airtime lately than Howard Cosell. Well, of course, he's dead, so I guess you'd have to. But my good boy Coop, Donald Coop.
For the dead cast.
And our boy Brady Riggs in from California here. We're going to talk a little golf, and I'd like to start it off tonight. I want to do a takeoff of what Luke said the other night, which was he talked about the two, I called them imperatives. I think he called them essentials to playing great golf, and he talked about curving it one way, never missing it the opposite way, and making putts inside 6 feet. All of us have been around great players. McFadden, obviously, on your way up, you've played with a bunch of great players. I want to start with Coop, with you. Actually, I'll start with Brady.
All right.
Since you got the mic.
Yes, sir.
From your experience around all the great players you've been around, AK, all of them, What are some of the essentials, or what are some of the qualities that you think that players need to succeed at the very highest level?
Well, I'd start with something Tommy Armour III told me one time, who was in professional golf for, four decades or something at least. And Tommy said that the difference between a tour player and a really good amateur is that a tour player is comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that's a big deal about playing really good golf, is being able to handle the stress and the nerves that go with that and still execute. It's not an easy thing to do. I don't know if anybody could ever explain how to do that.
It's hard to accept failure.
It's just being able to execute when it's on the line is a big deal. You know, a lot of us can hit shots when it doesn't count, but hitting them when it does is a different story. And then the other thing I think is, especially with the game now, like, you've got to be able to miss the driver in the right place. You don't have to hit every fairway, but you just can't be blowing it in the direction you don't want it to go. So I think that's a big deal, is being able to hit the driver. If there's trouble right,
eliminate one side.
Yeah, just blow it left if you need to blow it left. You don't have to hit the fairway.
Yeah, I like that.
But those are two things I think right off the bat that are really important.
I think, like, when I look at young people coming up, I would, you know, we teach them to drive it, curve it one direction. And I think that with all the technology out there, I'll give a shout out to like the Bushnell Launch Pro or whatever, the ability to really dial in wedge distances and become really proficient inside 100 yards. And when I watch kids or people that are really good at each level as they go up, I see like a bunch of kids, a bunch of people that have a lot of power. They're very good golf swings. They're very good players. But then you watch the guys that like, so to me, if I go to a mini tour event and then I went to a PGA Tour Americas event, then I went to a Corn Ferry event, and then I went to a PGA Tour event, I would bet the distances off the tee almost go down as you go up.
Could be.
A little bit, because they learn to hit a shot and to fit things in. But I would guarantee you that their ability inside 100 yards to hit their number, and then, Brady, like the stuff you're going to show folks tomorrow, the ability to control which side of the hole they miss it on and hit it on, gets better and better.
Or where they want to be. Yeah.
Where they want to be. Let's get Coop, from your years caddy, and obviously out there with Lucas and other guys, you've watched not only Lucas, who unbelievable player, you guys won a major, one of our good friends, but you've walked alongside Tiger, you've walked alongside all these great players. What are the qualities that you saw in their game that separated them from others?
I'd like the wedge thing you're talking about. The worst wedge player on tour is better than anybody that you probably know. I mean, really and truly, like, it's dialed in so much that it's almost mechanical. I don't know how to explain it, in a sense that it's going to be right where they're looking pretty much if it's 120 or in. And what's been the focus, which I see you guys doing now, is teaching the drive off the tee to, you know where your ball is going off the tee, and then focus on that wedge game, and before long we got something we can work with.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're all pretty good with the long irons. I mean, how dialed in can you get with a four iron? Well, you know, that's a question that can't be, you know, specific person can hit the ball. The wedge game now is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, like how many four irons you really hit around, right? I mean, obviously they hit
that's
some.
That's what I was trying to get, you know.
Yeah.
But like these young students now, their wedge game, like, it is really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it was 110 degrees.
Easily, in the shade.
Really a good day if something didn't going well to maybe say my hip, my whatever. But everyone dedicated to finishing. And I mean, I saw some golf today that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Some advances in what a certain player has, you know, can do. How far they can go in like a year.
You got to give a shout out to the girl Lexi, who's only just played a little over a year.
I don't have words.
And her ability to do that. McFadden, so you've been around these a bunch. You've come to golf camp a bunch. You come to golf camp with us, with the other guys that play professionally. You've been around Lucas. You've been around Luke Guthrie a bunch. Where in your game do you need to get better to get where you're trying to go? And you signed up for Q School today.
Yep.
There we go. How about that? Congrats.
It took a bit, but
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Q school
do you have
too.
A caddy by chance?
He's got a caddy. Yeah. The question is, does he want to use it?
Absolutely. But just like y'all just said, talking about some of the kids in their wedge games now, like there's two kids that are here this week that have completely different golf games now than when I first saw them. And one of the kids started a few years ago, saw him down in, I think it was in the Keys first time. And
which
could,
one?
Could barely, it was Alejandro.
Alejandro,
give him
yeah.
A shout out,
yeah. Great. He's going to play college golf. Who
exactly,
would have thought that
yeah,
a while
like,
back?
When I first
serious.
Saw him when he
Brady
started.
Brady saw him
like,
way back at Frederica before like, I got thrown out of that joint.
When I mean, if he listens to this, like he'll appreciate it. But like when he was out there at the Keys that first time, like could barely keep it on the range with a 7-iron. Like mm-hmm. it was crazy.
And there was a net on the range.
And now today, I got the pleasure to play with him the last 2 days, and he absolutely stripes it. He hit a 4-iron yesterday to 3 feet on number 9, made an eagle. And it, I mean, it's coming off flush and pure. And I mean, yeah, so he is really.
Franklin College in Indiana has gotten a steal on Alejandro yeah. Ortiz. Right,
absolutely.
And that school and that coach, he's been watching. I know he's looking at some of our guys. That guy's doing a good job because he's finding guys that can hit it and figuring he can teach them to play. I'll give
important.
That. And that's important,
and
right?
I just want to give a shout out to you for letting Caroline participate last weekend. It was like a game changer.
Well, we're fired up about her. She's a good young college player. She's got a bright future. We're going to keep helping.
Yeah, and to get back to the question you asked, I just wanted to put that out there for y'all, how impressive it is what some of these kids are doing these days. But for me, with my game, like what I need to get better between now and August for Q school, I think I've got to drive it a little bit better. Kind of what y'all said a little while ago, I feel like I hit it shorter now than I did in high school. I actually know that for a fact, that I hit it shorter now than I did in high school and hit it a lot straighter. But I'd say that's definitely a key, is more fairways. Yeah, absolutely. And I really like the way my wedge game is going. It's gotten a lot better over the last year. But as always, it can never be too good.
It can
so.
Never be good enough to not work on it as hard as you can.
Great. So, Brady, I always pick your brain. Mm-hmm. I had you help me today. Yesterday with Emilio came in, I always like another set of eyes. I think I'm not one of those people that's too proud to say, like, I don't think I know everything. I don't think I'm the smartest guy in the room, especially not this room. And I love another set of eyes from somebody I trust. Just say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you watched me with Emilio the other day, and you pitched in a couple things. We had a great session. You've been hanging out here for a few days, and you've hung around now. You've watched Will out there.
Yes.
What advice would you give Will preparing as an outsider who has a great knowledge of the game and a knowledge of how we work? What would your advice be to him preparing for Q school?
I mean, you have to trust your talent. You know, you really want to just dive into the things you're really, really good at.
Luke Guthrie, listen.
You know, you got to believe in yourself. I know it sounds kind of like a generic term, but it really comes down to your belief system in what you do and trying to be great at the things you're really great at. Don't worry about the things you're not that great at. Heck, half the time you can avoid those.
It's almost like you need a level of cockiness.
Absolutely.
To do what you want to do at that level.
And I've have struggled with that in the past, just being super self-confident.
Right.
It's one thing since I've turned pro, it's kind of been something I've really had to work on. Yeah. It's really like knowing that when I tee it up, like I've got a chance to win each week when I tee it up. And so that's been different, but absolutely got to keep.
You got to double down. And like Coop said, you know, like you want to have a chip on your shoulder when you play. It doesn't have to come out like Anthony Kim back in the day where you're – no, you just need to carry yourself and believe in yourself in that way. And I think – I forget who was saying this. This is years ago. He said he was looking at his weaknesses statistically on tour, and he was trying to get better in the areas that he wasn't as good as he thought he needed to be. But in the process of doing that, he stopped being – as good in the areas where he was better than everybody else, you know? So
climbing in performance in a sense.
Yeah, you don't want to walk away from the things that got you to the tour. You know, it's like Tony and I worked with a player a few years ago, and he was getting better all the time, keeping improving his performance. But after the year was over, he wanted to try and hit it even further than he was hitting it. And that was the wrong place to go.
Well, that's because he got hooked up working with that idiot.
That's true.
Same initials as me, TR.
Keep a big picture.
Yeah.
Focus on, take a selfie, but focus on the big picture,
Yeah, if you're a great iron player, keep being a great iron player. Don't try to all of a sudden be the best driver on tour and lose the thing that makes you great, Stick with the things that you're really, really good at. Double down on those and believe in yourself. And if you do that, you can play great golf when it counts. And like we were saying, that's the hardest thing to do.
That's the thing that a great amateur can't do, that a pro can do, is, going to the tee on a Thursday and something's missing, you don't know from these guys that are pros that are touring, that it doesn't show up. And I think it's from the confidence in the things that they do well. When they walk to the first tee, it's like, I'm going to do one thing well today. Therefore, I can make up, focusing on one thing is good for a short period, but work on the whole game, I love seeing guys practice changing clubs. I don't know why. I think that's a great way to practice instead of machine gunning 25-7 iron. You don't do that when you play. Hit me a driver and then let's, draw it and maybe cut the next shot. I think that'll make you, it just makes the mind work a little bit. Getting creative and then pulling off the shot instills confidence.
Speaking of practice, which I think is where Coop was going with this, Brady, one of the things I picked your brain on a bunch, I texted you not long ago for a combine for a player of mine. Coop was talking to me in the car this evening about some of your practice stuff. You're going to do some combine work. I think one of the things that you're the very best at, and I share it with a lot of them. And Will, I think tomorrow you're going to be there for a little bit, watching some of his practice. He mentioned tonight on the car ride home while he was toting me and Coop around, somebody's got to take care of us, right, Coop?
Somebody's got to drive us around. We'll drive it in the shrubs. He drives it right down the middle of the fairway.
He said, I saw that putt and stuff. I didn't get to go through it. And I said, well, Brady will show you the putt and combine stuff in the morning. Talk a little bit about the combine work you're going to do tomorrow. I think this is fantastic for people wanting to improve their game, because a lot of people could get better just by practicing better. Obviously, I think that teachers and coaches, it shouldn't be all about numbers, shouldn't be all about trying to just change stuff. We should also be helping you guide you how to practice and prepare and perform better. Talk a little bit about your combine stuff. It's awesome.
Well, just a brief backstory on the combines was that I'd say the first 15 years of me teaching, I was that guy on the range with his JC video out under the tent, working full swing. I was at a public course. It was super busy. Couldn't get on the golf course with people. Short game area was terrible. So I was doing full swing on the range. That's kind of how I was teaching. And I think I helped some people along the way doing that. But when my daughter stopped playing soccer and she decided she wanted to play golf competitively, she was a junior in high school. And I'm like, man, I've got to fast forward this process. I've got to get her good quickly. And so basically she had already developed a pretty good swing. So it was on the course. And then when she wasn't on the course, it was a bunch of different competitive practices to simulate the stress of as much as possible of playing golf. So now with every area of the game, I believe in some block practice, hitting a few shots and working on your mechanics. But after that, I want to get things into competitive spaces where you've got to be creative. You've got to think on the fly. And where there's a number attached to the end where you feel stress. And if you're not feeling stress when you're practicing, you're basically recreating.
I've never heard anybody talk about that.
Yeah, you want to be stressed out. I want you to be more uncomfortable in the combines than you are even sometimes on the course.
People don't mention that, but I get asked sometimes about Bethpage, what the feeling was. And it was numb. I didn't see a soul. Mm. I didn't see one person. And I think that's what you're getting to, that it doesn't matter what the situation.
Right.
It's you got to perform, and all that's got to not matter.
Yeah, and you need to train that, you know, and I think with...
I've never heard anyone want to practice.
It's fun. I mean, I think it's really good, too, as a group to work on stuff like that because you can give each other a hard time. You know, there's a lot of pressure with your peer group where you're working on that.
Like, I think when a pro calls the shot, I love it. Like,
yeah.
Boys, you want a little cut in there and you give it to them, that makes you confident.
Right. It's kind of funny, all the stuff we're talking about... Cocky, chip on your shoulder, believing in yourself, right. Executing under pressure, being comfortable when you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That all needs to be trained. If you think you're just going to roll out onto the first tee of Q School after looking great inside a studio or hitting numbers on a track, man, you're wrong.
The most thing I miss about caddying is that feeling. Unassured, not knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
First tee jitters, I love it.
Emilio said to me today on the... on the practice holes, we went out and hit some practice holes, and he asked how you were doing and good to see you and blah, blah, blah. And told him you were getting ready to go, you know, signed up for Q School. And he said, man, I may call. Look, let's not bust it for Emilio if he calls you. Right. But like he said, I may call him and just tell him like the biggest thing I learned about Q School is that like the week or two before, like, quit beating balls and just go play a bunch of golf. Right. And he said, and it was interesting. He said, and then when I got there, I realized like I got 72 holes. There's no cut. So like I needed to relax and just go play golf. I had four rounds.
Right.
Right. And I think that's good advice for you. And I think you've done amazing work over the last 6 months. We worked on getting your club face more squares. Club face had gotten open. And he kind of would scrunch going down and twist the face open a little.
And all that takes energy.
Mm-hmm. But he's back. He's tall. He's in his posture. Face is square. And he's doing all this stuff to hit a draw. Like, I think now he's just got to focus on, like, shooting scores and going and playing golf.
Absolutely.
Playing golf, play your way into big events. You don't want to be on that range. The range is where games go to die.
I think Will's done all that work. I think it's there. Like we're talking about, he just needs to instill some confidence. And somebody's going home with an ass whooping, and it ain't going to be Will. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I mean, it's there. And the same with Luke. I
didn't get to spend that much time with Will.
We had to split y'all up.
And I kind of got in the groove today, and, you know, I felt like he was too broad-minded today. You know, it's kind of an open course, and he was frustrated with drives I thought that were brilliant. I'm like, what was wrong with that? He goes, well, I wanted it to. I go, well, let's do it. Let's, you know, it made me feel good. I'd say, let's start it at that and have it not cross that. Just make it fall left if you want. You know, it doesn't have to draw. And then, you know,
He's swinging. Luke Guthrie's swinging the best.
As I've seen him.
I've seen him swing in the 10-year I've known him.
I will agree. Every shot I called, he hit.
At one point,
except for one.
Before he worked with us way back, he was a top 60 player in the world coming out of Illinois. Phenomenal talent. You talk about a guy got lost a little bit. He's swinging as good right now and as free as I've ever seen him. And you talk about a nice human being and a guy that you could pull for. So
a guy that you'd put a poster in your room of him. I mean, superhero. And his game's there. And when I hear a guy that good, he's like a superhero in my opinion. The guy's like genuine.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And he's honest, and you know he says something you can believe it. And just watching somebody hit a good golf shot and then you know mumbling, walking away, so I got to step in. Like, what was wrong with that? And being honest, you know, it didn't end up falling right. Well, then I know now why you're mad, and we can work on that. Let's talk the shot out. You know, I think by yourself. He's a competitive player. He's usually got a caddy. So, therefore, like you were talking about, practice like you play. Mm-hmm. He has a caddy. I stepped in there and helped him a little bit with some targets. And, man, I mean, it was like I would have paid today. Now, right. Will usually, he's like, I don't focus on Will because I know his youth is like, even if he does hit a bad shot, it's only going to make him angry for, you know, a little bit. But, like, Luke, he's a veteran. He's been through a lot.
He's got some scar tissue. He talked about it on here.
Yeah, and he needs to
he's going to get something that's going to happen that's going to be really good. I can feel it.
Pay attention. If you're watching out there listening, Luke Guthrie, something good's going to happen to him. I'm excited about him.
For real.
Putting, Brady, you watched you with you did some aim point stuff with a girl we had in this afternoon.
Right.
Some tips for putting practice, guiding people through putting practice.
Yes. So organization really matters, you know.
Organization
of putting, you know, like how do you spend that time? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the start of that is start line. You know, get the ball started on the line you're intending. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, you're not going to make anything.
Would you recommend maybe that, like that? I love that tool with the two BBs.
Yes, so that's like a Pell's putting tutor. From the kitchen, pouring some wine. Coop's on it. I like... Derek Ueda's putting plate is the one I use. I love that. He's Schauffele's coach. 5 minutes on that, that's good. If you can get started through that gate and do 9 in a row, get rid of it.
You don't have to sit there and do an hour.
No. If you can do 9, once you can do it, you can do it. And then once you do that, something maybe to work on speed. You know, we do some different types of drills for speed. And then I go jumping into combines right away, which is my favorite one is a 3-6-9.
Take us through this.
So 5 holes. We set
Will's
down.
Will's going to do it tomorrow.
I'll set up Will tomorrow. So 5 holes. We do a 3-footer, 6-footer, 9-footer on every hole. Just 3 putts per hole. PGA Tour average 3 feet and in is 99%. We want to make all those. 6 feet is about 66%. So we try to make 3 out of 5. And then the 9-footer is a little worse than 50%. So we try to make 2 out of 5. So par is simply 10. Full routine. If you use the line on the ball, we want you to use the line. If you're an aim point guy, great. If you want to do practice, whatever it is, I want that putt to look exactly like it would look in a tournament.
Maybe to the point of if they don't, you know, the ball has to end up, if they don't do part of their routine, then they start over.
100%. If there's a distraction, there's a horn blows or something, then you start over again. But we want those full routine, full commitment. And it's only 15 putts, but you care about each one. And I promise you, most people hitting 6-footers on the putting green don't care about the result because it's just another 6-footer. Where we want all those putts to mean something. And by having a scorecard in your pocket and you're marking down the ones that you're making and the ones that you're missing, and you're sending me that scorecard at the end where you're sending me a picture of it, here's how I did on 3-6-9 today.
You learn how important.
Yeah, it gets you accountable, you know. So that type of practice, if you do 5 minutes on the plate, maybe 10 minutes on speed, and then you do a 3-6-9 drill, maybe do 2 of those, that's 25, 30 minutes of practice.
Easy.
But it's completely organized and very purposeful. And that's what you're trying to do. You really want to spend that time productively so you don't have to stay out there for 2.5 hours putting. Nobody can concentrate that long on a green. But if you spend 30 minutes and you're breaking it up, it can be incredibly effective. So that's huge, I think, for players.
And I do the same in full swing as far as I like to structure practice to where, you know, like if you've got 2 drills you do, you count out 10 balls, 10 balls, 10 balls, and you hit – 10 balls, and you every 5 balls, you do whatever drill with a band. Obviously, I use a lot of band pivot pack. Get them, please. Brady, you got your pivot pack.
I got my
today.
Pivot pack. I feel different already.
You think I could talk you into doing a post with one out in California?
Oh, there's no question. I'm gonna
perfect. But so say you're doing the, like Emilio. So let's take Emilio, for example.
Okay.
And it's on Instagram, by the way. But you could turn, you know, where he would do the rehearsal, he turned to the top and he pulled his toes off his right foot.
Right.
So he could do 10 balls doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the next 10 might be where he had the band across his knees.
Right.
And he felt his right hip going deeper. Well, then the third 10, to me, would be changing clubs and targets every shot. Mm-hmm. Right. One be a driver at a target where he's trying to hold it and it not cross left. The next might be a 7-iron where he's trying to, you know, he's trying to draw it and it can't, wherever, right?
That's the brain practicing decisions.
And like, to me, if you did 30 or say you did 20 balls, whatever, it's 30 or 60 balls. That's a hell of a practice because you'd be completely engaged. You'd be focused and you'd be working on the stuff you're trying to work on separate and segmented, and and then you're trying to apply it to what goes on the golf course.
Absolutely.
Like if you did like your putting combine and you did your chipping stuff and then you did practice like that, you could go out there in 2.5 hours, have an unbelievable practice that's way more focused, and you'd get better.
No
Instead
question.
Of the guy that hits, we've all known the guys that hits balls for 4 hours. They come off, they're soaking wet, their white shirt's brown from sweating.
Less confident than when they got there.
I used to always say, I remember one time telling Smiley, man, like, if you hit balls long enough, you're going to hit till they're shitty.
You know what I saw something.
By the way, shout out to Smiley on how good he's doing.
Smiley, you are awesome. I hate TV, but I love watching you and listening to you. You are wonderful. I used to, with like Patrick Berg, I want to shout out to somebody that taught me a bunch about this game. He would do on Wednesday a practice round, and we'd do each and every, you know, from one tee. We'd hit what we thought we would, you know, we replicated a practice round. But everything was positive because, you know, of course we didn't putt out. It was just the shots. But he left that range feeling good. You know, and I'd sometimes say, man, we just shot 62. He's probably going to win. You know, just it was a good practice. It was quick but effective.
Let me ask you this question, Coop. This is a total caddy question. How important did you feel like it was how they hit the ball on the range before they went to play around?
I never watched, really. I paid real good attention on Wednesday. Like, what, you know, looking at everything, mostly posture and where the ball was with each club. I knew if those were there that it was probably going to be pretty good, but I didn't pay attention to that because some of the ones I focused on, it was the opposite outcome. Great warm-ups and then, you know, not so great on the court.
What about that practice round at Harbortown where he had the chance to shoot, like, below 60
and missed it,
and you had said on the 18th tee, we might as well get a flight home on Friday. And he's shooting.
And that's just a caddy thing. You know? It's like our thing was Liz, you know, and she'd be like, Cooper, what's going on? I'm like, I need to get a flight out of here. You know, in a jokingly way. Why? What's going on? Does it look okay? Yeah, we just shot 57 on a Wednesday. It doesn't matter. You know, I think the preparation coming in before is much more important as the warm-up session before the round.
What would you do before a round if a guy was freaking out on the range not hitting it good? Do you ever have any situation?
Yeah, I had a real quick story. A friend of mine, Vaughn Taylor, Monday qualified.
Vaughn is the
Virginia
best.
Virginia Beach. And I end up, the guy I was caddying for either was hurt or something, didn't show up. So Vaughn asked me to caddy, and I've caddied for him, and he played great Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. The forecast is just 100% chance of showers all day long. No lightning, no thunder. You know, you're going to play golf. He shows up with a carry bag we had all week, and he goes, man, I'm sorry. And I goes, for what? He goes, you know, I don't have a rain cover, and everything's going to be wet. I said, take this sand wedge. Go to the range, start warming up there in a minute. Go to the cart barn, get 4 giant garbage bags, put the bag in 2, put 2 over the top, and go out there and say, you got another excuse? I mean, we're going to do it. And he played great. Never looks at a leaderboard, Vaughn.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, his focus is top 10, top 10, top 10. Well, I know he's got a great chance to win with 3 to play. And he birdies the 16th. And I'm like, all right. Well, Michael Long's playing really good. But Vaughn goes, man, you know, let's hunker down here on these last holes. You know, I'm thinking, I've been hunkering my ass down all day long. I ain't quitting on you. You know, he misses this putt on 18. And he looks at that leaderboard, and he looked at me with kind of a, you know, he missed winning by 2 shots. And, you know, that was his way of blocking everything out. And I was, like, pumped for him. And he became, you know, to be VT.
Mm-hmm.
Great player.
VT. Great career.
He's the best. Hey, VT.
VT.
But
I enjoy hanging out with him.
You know.
He likes fishing.
There's things. There's always somebody. It's easy to have an excuse. You know, Patrick one day came in, Burke. He's like, might not play well today. I'm like, why is that? He goes, well, the dog barked all night, didn't get any sleep. I went, dude, one time, you know, when I was young, I stayed up for like 3 days. I'm like, you'll be fine. That's nothing. Come up with something else. You know, it's just easy to have a crutch.
Will, last question. We'll go you and then Brady. So tell us, what we're going to do, get ready for Q School. What's your plan? We got what? Two months?
2.5
How
months.
How long is it now? It used to be 6 days.
Nope. No, now it's
what is this?
Four days at each stage, three and stages. I'm going to start in Greenville, Alabama.
Okay. Pre-Q?
Yeah. Pre-Q, yeah. Unless I'm exempt. I'm not. Right. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, but he should be exempt because he finished inside the top 30
in America's school.
Yeah. So, PGA Tour, if you're listening and you actually like us, go ahead and help Will McFadden out.
I mean, I think –
Jay.
I think between now and September to get ready, I got to just keep doing a lot of the same things that I'm doing right now. I mean, I feel like over the last year it's continued to get better, and I don't see any reason why it can't keep doing that. So I've enjoyed it. I feel like we've got a good plan in place, and I'm just going to keep trusting the process of that plan and keep going.
And I think you ought to spend – and not just because I like having you around and Coop around, but like I think you ought to spend as much time as you can down and around good players and good places to be. It's only been 10 days, but who's counting? But I do think that's good for you.
Watching, you know, I watched a lot of good golf. And I think that you learn a lot about it. Not that you can replicate doing it, but you learn it. He can replicate it, and I think it's a big deal. Like, when we get the kids that want to run off and kind of not pay attention, I think they're hurting themselves by not watching the other kids or whatever. Even fail, you know, it's like, I can see why that didn't work.
Brady, parting shots from the weekend, the podcast, whatever.
You know, every time I come out to a school with you.
The East Side.
It's always fun because... Coop's got it. I always learn something, you know.
I learned a lot today.
I learned a lot working with you, and I always give you a hard time about your pivot pack. But
I wish this was longer because I wanted to talk about his stuff. Like today when I walked up.
Well, we can keep going.
What you had set up, I've never seen that. I haven't seen it.
I appreciate that.
And it was like, I've always thought that speed is so important. Mm-hmm.
How cool is that, though? You've caddied for how long? Been around
a long time. Right? Longer than most people.
And he came up to me this evening, and I think we had just gotten here. And he goes, man, that stuff Brady was doing on the greens, I want to talk more about that. He's still trying to learn.
That's why
he's
great.
He's won a major.
Yeah.
Multiple wins, all that stuff. I mean, he's still fascinated with learning, and a shout out to you, especially though he's still fascinated with helping people.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I am. I like today that question I asked him.
Right, you ask great questions.
It could make you out to be dumb. Maybe
not at all.
The answer I got, and I will talk about this next one. It was like, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, the one thing that Coop was watching some of the kids doing was we put a ghost hole out there, you know, one of those.
Oh, I didn't know about this now.
We had the ghost hole on a 3% slope. And so we had 10-footer left to right downhill and right to left uphill. And I was trying to get players to stop the ball on the ghost hole, which is really tough. So they're having to match up the speed and the brake.
It has to enter at like 9 o'clock.
And it's got to be just like the last roll has got to get on it. And it's amazing when they first start how they have no control over the speed.
I was like, how attached is this golfer to that golf ball? It was unreal.
And they start rolling, and now they're stopping it on the edges, and they're getting really good. And every single one of them ended up getting it on the ghost hole. Yeah, I didn't. It was challenging, but it was neat to watch them just start to be totally creative and be completely connected to what the goal was instead of thinking about their stroke.
It's like teaching what you need to compete on the PGA Tour. Like, that's how in control you have to be over that nugget. I mean, you got to know where it's going.
And, Coop, I'd ask you, like, so during that Open, right? Were there some putts that were so fast and so slopey that he was having to die that ball last half roll into the top edge, right?
The thing that fascinated me is all the rain that we got that week. The greens were rolling 14, and they are, and you know, you're standing over there, you're totally confident in what the guy's doing, but there's a little bit of doubt in my mind. If he had that, we wouldn't have won. Lucas had no doubt. Like, and I always knew for some reason he talked about the other event he played there before, how he felt about the outcome of it. And for some reason, it felt like he should have won that tournament. I don't know why. It's just weird. I think I worked for him so much that I felt like, yeah, he could win this easily.
Same way at the PGA that year I was there. Like, you just knew he was going to play good.
Yeah, I don't know how and why, but you just got a feeling like these two match. And then you have the feeling sometimes like, we should never come back here.
I've seen those places.
Like this condo, right? This condo. Brady, awesome stuff. This has been fun.
Yeah, thanks again, Tony, for having me. Like I was saying about your pivot pack, I give you a hard time, but every time I come, you know, it's fun watching you incorporate something new. And like you were saying about Coop, who never stops learning. You know, I know you don't ever stop learning. I don't ever stop. I mean, I look back 10 years ago and I think, man, I wasn't very good at what I was doing. 20 years back, I'm like, I was horrible 20 years ago.
My favorite reason for doing this is to take people that I care about and that I trust and I believe in and I know are smarter than me and like to get us all together so we can help people. But like, I got a chance to teach with you who I have enormous respect for and like, you know, to pick your brain, like, and it's great for the student. Right. And you get all these people that like want to stand there and they say, I got the answer. I got the answer. You know, I'm a big dick dog and all that. And you know, I mean, like that, like, let's help the people in front of us. Let's create some good content. And,
well, can we set up something for the next one?
Yes.
Because I always wonder about one quote or one lesson that could destroy somebody.
Wait, you mean the next podcast?
No, let's do one on that. Like, how are you guys confident in telling somebody, you know, you need to change this?
We'll do that.
You could run them away from golf with some wrong or bad information.
That's a good one. We'll do that.
You know,
I know some people have done it.
Watch these guys work. It's
same initials.
It's good.
Terry. All right, guys, everybody. Appreciate everybody sitting in. Brady, thanks for making the trip to California. Coop, thanks for driving down through the middle of the night. Unbelievable. Willie, thanks for staying here for 47 days. Want to remind everybody something that I forgot. Recently, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went out. We went to a wedding, and afterwards, with some friends, we're like, hey, where's a great place to go? I'll be honest, like, in my travels and day-to-day, sometimes I get caught up and I forget some of the great places right around the corner. But I got to remind you about the Ice Box Bar on 755 Monroe Street. I was blown away by just the whole vibe, the atmosphere, and with the Velvet Pig, the food in the back room and the big screen TVs up front. We sat there and watched some playoff games. I was blown away by the atmosphere, the vibe, and just how cool it was to have the Icebox Bar right here near the Dew Sweepers downtown, near where I live. You're looking for a great place to go sit, watch some games, hang out, play some pool. You got to go to the Icebox Bar right there on Monroe Street. There's a good chance you'll see all of us hanging out. But do yourself a favor. Go visit the Icebox. It's one of the best places out there. Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. And look, recently, several teachers I know and several players have had some scares with skin cancer. In fact, I recently went and saw a dermatologist here in town, and I had a couple things frozen off. Eyelid, my face, my earlobe, and not getting any younger. And I know it's getting to that time of the season where it's cooler. But look, being in the sun is a real deal, and I've not been very good, to be totally honest, my whole career using it at all because I didn't like how greasy it was, how hard it was to get off your hands, how it clogged up my pores. And then I found this sunscreen, Visor Skincare. It's clear, it goes on, it doesn't dry you out, it isn't greasy, it's like you didn't put anything on. By far, it's the best sunscreen I've ever used, without a doubt, is the easiest to use. And we've got a discount code for all of you. All you have to do is go to visorskincare.com, is use our code word Dew Sweeper. Visorskincare.com, code word Dew Sweeper.